Brian Lehrer on WNYC at the Aspen Ideas Festival. Now, one new idea being brought in with President Obama is wiki government. Yes, that's wiki as in Wikipedia, meaning it's collaborative government. If really implemented that way, it means the public doesn't just get to comment on policies being made. It gets to collaborate in their making. And with us here at Aspen Now is one of the president's key people for making this actually happen. She is Beth Simone Novak. Her newly created title is Deputy Chief Technology Officer for Open Government. How about that? She is also a New Yorker and was director of the Institute for Information Law and Policy at New York Law School. And she has a new book just published before her appointment called Wiki Government: How Technology Can Make Government Better, Democracy Stronger, and Citizens More Powerful. Beth Novak, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So our listeners are probably now intrigued but confused. Deputy Chief Technology Officer for Open Government. Very cool title. What do you actually do at work?
So my job at work is to head up the White House initiative on open government and to implement the president's memorandum, the memorandum he signed on his very first day in office on January 21st on transparency and open government, which called for really bringing innovation to government. And by that, we mean making it more transparent, more participatory, and more collaborative. So my job is to look at the ways that we can use both law and technology to help government work better, be more innovative, and be more effective at what it does.
And the prime collaborative democracy example in the book is something called peer to patent. And this is about how ideas are patented, maybe not the sexiest governmental topic in the world. It won't fix the healthcare system or bring world peace. But what happened here to make this a good example of wiki government?
So I think it's a great example because 2 years ago, the students and I at New York Law School started out on this project to create what was the first social network in government. So we tend to think of social networks like Facebook or MySpace that connect people to one another over the internet. This was the idea of connecting people to one another and to a government agency to help get their expertise to the government to help it make better decisions. So the Patent Office is a very particular and interesting case, and it does, by the way, have an impact on healthcare and the economy and all these other important issues. But the Patent Office is right now working under a backlog of 800,000 applications. An examiner has between 15 to 20 hours to actually decide whether an application, to review the application, do all the research necessary, and write up the findings to determine if that application actually deserves to get a patent, which could become the next life-saving drug or the next, you know, major in technological invention. And so we all know from our own lives, 15 to 20 hours is not a lot of time. And when you add into that that you have to do really technical, difficult scientific research, and you're frankly a generalist with not necessarily a specialist in that area of science, can be very, very difficult to decide if that patent really deserves, or that application really deserves a patent. So the thought was, given today's Wikipedia-style technologies, given Facebook, given Twitter, given all these so-called Web 2.0 tools that we're familiar with, why couldn't we find a better way to get those people who know to get their advice and ideas to the people who need to make the decisions faster and easier so that we would have the best quality patents at the end of the process?
Real experts in the particular fields in question. And it's an interesting example. I mean, it's an interesting field to try this out with, patents. Since you're in the camp of information wants to be free, are you a little skeptical of the idea of patents to begin with?
I grant you there's some irony and hopefully some humor in the idea of applying what you might think of as open and collaborative techniques to really a system of creating monopolies around intellectual property, giving people the exclusive rights to an idea for 20 years. But it should be, you know, it's not, the work isn't enjoyable unless it is fun, and a little irony kind of helps there. But what's interesting here is that, of course, patents play such an important role in innovation. And whatever one's view is of whether we should have patents or more patents in pharmaceutical or in the technology field, the most important thing is that when we do have patents, they're good quality patents. And that we not grant patents that don't, that we not grant patents that don't deserve one. And so that was the idea of getting this advice and expertise, getting the knowledge from people who know. And that doesn't necessarily mean someone with 3 PhDs in a given technology or science. It's the person who worked in that arena, who served in a firm, you know, who happened to know. We had, for example, a fellow who participated, a database programmer from out in Seattle, who happened to work for a company where he had seen a product manual that was very similar to the application that was at issue before the patent office. And he recognized it took him a few minutes, would have taken the patent examiner a lifetime to find the same information.
Beth Novick is my guest on WNYC. She is President Obama's Deputy Chief Technology Officer for Open Government and author of a brand new book called WikiGovernment, How Technology Can Make Government Better, Democracy Stronger, and Citizens More Powerful. So is there anything you're working on right now at the President's Technology Office that our listeners can get involved with as citizen collaborators?
I'm glad that you asked. We launched something called the White House Open Government Initiative, which is at whitehouse.gov/open, with the idea being there to make our open government policy in an open way, to apply these ideas of getting the expertise from outside of Washington, from people with know-how, from people with enthusiasm, from people who have their ideas and time to share them, to contribute them to our making of open government policy.
So in other words, this is still kind of meta, though. This is open government about open government, right? I mean, people want to get in there and help design a healthcare system, help win the war in Afghanistan. Can you get down into the weeds at that level yet?
Right. So there are two. I think there are two things going on here. One is open government policy is a very concrete thing in the sense that we are really trying to figure out what is the administration's policy going to be on transparency, on citizen participation, on collaboration. That means what will it mean for every agency to put all of its data online so that, for example, better healthcare data is available so that citizens can get into the weeds, analyze that data, hold government accountable, create cool mashups and visualizations so that doctors can use that information better to make healthcare decisions. How agencies get citizens involved in this meta process, if you will. But, for example, the FDA right now, Food and Drug Administration, regulates about 20, 25 cents of every dollar that consumers spend relates to a food or a drug. Thanks to this initiative, they are in part able to now run with this idea of what would it mean for an FDA to be more transparent and more participatory so that, for example, better drug information, the FDA makes a decision about, for example, which drug gets approved or denied, that it can do a better job of getting that information out there, not only so healthcare professionals can make decisions, but also so that investors can make decisions about which companies to invest in. So it does get pretty into the weeds pretty quickly, but what we're trying to do is to model out how to do that in a transparent and collaborative way.
So if I go to your site, is it going to ask me questions about how I think government can be more open?
So what it's going to do is exactly as you did on this show, in fact, when you asked listeners to help program episodes of this show before the election last year, it nicely frames the question. So it's not just a free-for-all. Tell us what you think about government or how do you feel about the administration or what do you think it means to be more transparent. What we've tried to do is to create a process, and what we've done is we've created a three-stage process. First, a brainstorming, in which we've really tried to create those kind of categories and framing for where we need help on thinking about transparency and participation and collaboration. Then a second, deeper phase of conversation and discussion where we use a blog. And then a third phase, which is now ongoing, where we really want to encourage people to get involved and participate using a wiki, as you did, to actually get people involved in drafting these policies. So turning these big ideas about we should be more open and transparent into actionable directions that'll help us move towards, for example, giving instructions to agencies so that the FAA can put its bird strike data up online and that we can actually get into, you know, very specifics about using participatory techniques to get citizens involved in making healthcare decisions.
So I'm glad you liked the 30 Issues in 30 Days wiki. For people who don't know what that is, when we were doing our coverage of the presidential election last year, we opened up six of the 30 issues for any listener to contribute questions, topics, suggested guests, suggested sound bites, all of that stuff. And it produced, I think, some very much more rounded segments that we did looking at those issues because we got exactly what you said, expertise from people who are not generalists, like I'm a generalist, like most journalists are generalists. So we got to ask, I think, some much more informed questions and explore some of those issues in a much more informed way. But I want to ask you how you think we and other media could go further. Your book does not address media directly, but of course media play an important role, obviously, in the public discussion about policy. Have you thought about how the media can apply your model of going beyond debate to collaboration
in what we do? The role of the media is absolutely crucial here because, first, let's take the issue of transparency. Both from a philosophical standpoint and now a practical policy standpoint, the administration is moving towards and deeply committed to transparency. You may have heard that yesterday the federal CIO, Vivek Kundra, and his team announced the launch of USAspending.gov, this massive new dashboard to track IT investments across the federal government so we can see $76 billion of money and where it's going and how it's getting spent. We're pushing towards, again, data transparency. As I've mentioned, the FDA now with its big transparency initiative trying to get better data out there, and all the agencies now pushing to get data up online through this new platform we've created called data.gov, a place to put data, make it downloadable. But what are we going to do with all of this raw information and data if we don't have journalists and we don't have media who are helping people to make sense of it and who are taking that raw data and doing the analysis and applying their interest and expertise to figure out what we can do to make the healthcare system work better, to make the economy work better, to really achieve better outcomes and results in given areas? So even coming back to our patent example, USPTO has now said, the United States Patent and Trademark Office, it's going to commit to putting all of its information online and making it downloadable. But we, again, need the media to play a role here in really trying to make that information useful and getting creating that feedback loop, if you will, of getting people involved and getting that information back in.
Beth Novick, my guest on WNYC here at the Aspen Ideas Festival. She is Deputy Chief Technology Officer for Open Government with the Obama administration and author of a new book called Wiki Government. You make a distinction in your book, which is kind of fun, sort of between East Coast Code and West Coast Code. And East Coast Code is the law and West Coast Code is software code. I wonder if you're finding a distinction between New York Code and Washington Code as you make the move from New York Law School to this bureaucracy.
I have
in
a distinction between New York restaurants and Washington restaurants, which I could draw, but that may be a little off topic.
I know which way that one comes out, to be sure.
Washington Code and New York Code. It's sort of interesting. I think there's definitely a sort of cultural melting pot, if you will, in the new administration. Let me say what I think a little bit, and you can explain what you mean by Washington Code, perhaps. But what I take by that is the meaning of fast, high-paced, outcomes-oriented, results-driven, a move towards performance measurement, a move towards saying, what are we actually achieving by what we're doing?
That's exactly what people generally assume Washington Code is not.
And that's, I think, where we are really trying to, and the president has assembled a wonderful innovation team between the federal CIO, the chief technology officer, a new social innovation office, the wonderful team at White House New Media, and then, of course, people throughout the agencies and now scattered throughout the government, but really a whole a cadre of new leadership, but also a governing philosophy that drives towards performance, that really drives towards achieving results using data to inform the decisions that we make, and using data, not only raw government data, but again, this idea of collaborative data, of notions that we're getting in from elsewhere that really help us to deliver services better and also to make decisions better.
We're going to run out of time soon, but to digress for a minute from government, in your book, you also criticize academia for its failure to go beyond theory to practice regarding too much secrecy in research and too little action to actually bring about change. What's the secrecy part?
Well, the secrecy part is, and we all, suffer from this in academia, where we are frantically trying to, get out our next article, get out our next book, get credit for ourselves and our research, because our tenure standards and decisions are based on it. So there isn't a primacy placed on collaboration necessarily, in as much as there should be. Now, plenty of academics, of course, collaborate, and science wouldn't happen without collaboration. So I don't want to overstate the point. But I think the notion here is that both the importance of working together, but also the importance of working out in the open that helps with the development of innovations and that helps with actually moving the ball forward.
And you mentioned that some philanthropies like the Lance Armstrong Foundation are refusing to fund academic research unless that model changes.
Right, because we know that innovation happens through collaboration, through this pooling of good ideas, through the combination of disciplines that gets us together towards leading to outcome, better outcomes faster. I'll give you a very quick little government example, if I may, which is just last week the president announced a major new initiative on immigration reform. Immigration reform is a big issue. We've got legislative, you know, reform pending. We've got multi-year projects that we've got to do to make the system work better. But one of the things that he announced was a 90-day initiative, an innovation initiative, to help deliver better services to applicants using new technology by collaboration between, again, the technology folks, the performance folks, and the immigration experts at USCIS to say, hey, maybe we can use a small innovation like delivering updates to applicants via their cell phones to help people's lives, you know, to make their lives better in a small way, but in a quick way. And it's, I think, a good example of the importance of collaboration across disciplines and of looking for these lightweight innovations that can really help to make the world a better place.
And beyond that, it seems to me, and we're at an ideas festival, you question almost the very idea of academia, because you say academics too often put social science over saving the world. But isn't the prime function of university research to produce knowledge, and then it's the job of activists to put it to use?
Uh-oh. I'm hoping they're going to take me back in academia when they kick me out of Washington, so don't get me in too much trouble here. But, yeah, the idea is, that, and I think the context in which I talk about this, is that so often we are looking for the research testbed, the perfect
isolate the variable.
Exactly, where we can isolate the variable into the perfect circumstances in which to write the paper or do the research. Coming back to Peer to Patent, the exciting thing there was, and I think it was very exciting as a teachable moment, as a wonderful thing for students, is we were engaged in actually both doing both at once, looking at both issues of patent quality and how we can improve, how new collaborative technologies can help make the patent system work better, and a whole series of research questions. We got a wonderful NSF grant to study, for example, the way that tagging and labeling could help that scientists better understand patents. But what we did in the process was really engage in trying to make the office work better. And in a one-year period, from start to finish, we were able to institute the government's first social networking project to change the way the institution works and to really engage in what I like to think of as institutional innovation, which is really, I think, the core goal for us here. And so I think that more academics, and particularly folks here, are people who are engaged with the world and who are applying their ideas through writing, but also through often translating those ideas into practice.
Well, Beth Simone Novick, the newly created position of Deputy Chief Technology Officer for Open Government in the Obama administration, her new book, Wiki Government, How Technology Can Make Government Better, Democracy Stronger, and Citizens More Powerful. It's a great quest. Good luck.
Thank you.